to the Dildorks Dorky Discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I'm about to do my sex podcast while sitting in my parents' basement, which has no noise barrier, and I actually have no sense whatsoever of how much they can hear me. But if you hear me being a little whispery this episode, that's going to be why. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and porn maker, and I have a lot of fairly public sex, and I'm very excited that the weather is nice enough for me to do it again.
You really do. I think you have more public sex than anyone I've ever met, quite possibly. Although I don't make a habit of asking people when I meet them how much public sex they have, but...
I don't know. It's an impulse I've always had, and it's weird because it's not at all rooted in, like, the fear of getting caught, which is, I think, where that comes for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, like, something fun to getting away with something. I don't want to risk getting caught because not out of, like, shame or embarrassment. It's weirdly violating other people's boundaries in ways that are uncomfortable, right? So that, like, the fear of that, it actually dampens the fun for me. But I enjoy the idea of getting away with something, and, like, I don't know, it's been an impulse for as long as I can remember that I see, like, really pretty or interesting or weird places, and I go, I want to fuck there. I want, like, that looks neat. I want my dick out on it. I don't know where it comes from, but it's just innately part of me.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll get into the ethics for sure later. Mm-hmm. But I find that really interesting because, like, I came at it from a really different place, which is, like, the only times I've really had public sex was when, like, for practical reasons, like, I didn't have another place to go. Usually, like, when I was living with my parents, which I am right now because I'm quarantining. And so, like, I would have sex on, like, playgrounds late at night, not while there were kids there. Oh, my God. Or, like, in alleyways and stuff like that. But I would pretty much always rather not be doing that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for me, it's like I have done it out of circumstance, but most of the semi-public sex I've had out of circumstance was in cars because as like at that time I was out in the suburbs and that was like, I don't know, the easiest place to fuck and the person I was dating had a car. But now I have a less access to cars because I've been in cities, which is funny to think as a grown ass adult, it is less easy for me to fuck in the back of a car.
Right. I've never fucked in a car because I think my current partner is maybe the only person I've ever dated who has known how to drive a car, which is weird because I live in Toronto where it's like sort of weird for young people to drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I have when I had one, but not in a minute because, like, I don't know, that is less fun to me, I guess, because it feels like an extension of my house. I don't know. I'm like, yes, it's my thing. I can fuck in it, sure. But the idea of just, like, fucking out somewhere is, like, I don't know, more of an achievement, I guess.
Yeah, and more of a novelty. And also, if it's your own car, then you have to clean up the mess later. So well, there's certainly, that.
Yes, yeah.
Or have someone else clean it up if you take it somewhere to get cleaned, I guess. So I wanted to talk about public sex this episode because people are getting vaxxed and the weather's getting warmer in the Northern Hemisphere. And it just seems like there's going to be more public sex on the horizon. Maybe not for me because I don't know if it's really my thing, but... I'm sure for some other people. So I guess let's dive into, so I asked our listeners like for questions about public sex and I think I got about 8 questions and I think about 6 or 7 of them were like about the ethics of public sex. Like everybody is worried about this.
Our listeners.
Yeah. it's a reasonable question. I think that it's kind of like the main question when you start talking about public sex is like, what is the ethics as far as like other people potentially seeing it or whatever, but how do you feel about this?
Well, so everything we do exists on an ethical spectrum, right?
Yep, not black and white.
Yeah. So, and I think this is similar. There are ways you can do it that are, I mean, nothing's perfectly ethical or whatever, but that are like fairly safe, right? If this were any other year, I would be getting ready to go to summer camp in the next, well, Fusion in the next couple of weeks, which is a huge campsite that I can go and fuck wherever I want on that campsite because everyone there is for this event. And that's a great opportunity to be naked in the woods and fuck out in the sunshine, which is just fucking beautiful. I love it. A unique joy. Without the risk, without, you know, any risk or anything. And there are plenty of other people for whom the risk is the fun, who will set them up in situations where they're almost certain to get caught. I'm thinking about, like, clips I've seen online of people, like, doing shit in aisles in grocery stores and things. Where the fun is that someone is going to come around the corner and be outraged. And by my measure, that is not something I would feel comfortable doing, like, by my own ethics, because I would feel like I'm violating someone's boundaries. So for me, this I err on the side of, you know, either it is a public play space where everyone there is there to fuck, or a place where I can reasonably assume that we're probably not going to get caught. And if we do, it'll be the kind of caught where someone's like, Was something going on over there? And we're already scrambling and scurrying out of the way, right? No one's going to walk in and just be like face to face with a dick. I have made decisions that are like maybe more on the other side of that spectrum than I would love. Like, I've been in places where I'm like, oh, I might get – this is real cool though. But, like, you got to play that balancing act, right? None of us can tell the future, but you can spend some time in an area. Don't just show up in a place and have the first thing you do be fuck there, right? Spend 30, 40 minutes. How frequently do people come by? How easily does your voice carry? And if you can, like, reasonably expect some degree of privacy, if you can get yourself behind something so you can hear someone coming, I think you're okay. I think you've done your due diligence. Does that mean you won't ever get to have someone stumble upon you? No, but we can't tell the future, and I enjoy this, and I will not give up my little joys.
Yeah, when I think of people who sort of get their jollies from doing sexy stuff in public and hoping that someone will stumble upon it non-consensually, I just wish that they could learn about consensual kink. Like, there's just so many. I mean, it's fully possible that they might know about it and just be like, well, that's not for me because that's not what's hot to me about it. But I mean, at a certain point, you do have to make the decision, like, the thing that is actually hot to me is an unethical thing, so I'm not going to do it. I mean, I can think of a lot of fantasies of mine that fall into that category. And you know, we have to be human beings in society. We have to balance the needs of the species and then the social group and the area that we're in against our own desires.
Right. And you can shock people who still signed up to see sex, right? Like, I've come around a corner at, you know, summer camp and been like, oh, look, people are fucking, oh, great. Hi. Hey, how's it going? But, like, I'm not outraged and appalled, right? You can also, you know, set up a scenario where, you know, even a partner that you have, you can be like, I'm not always going to tell you that I'm jerking off. And sometimes you might just, like, walk in on me. And can you, like, be really outraged when you do that and be like, like, pretend that it isn't a really hot thing that you just saw and be like, oh my God, what? Cause, like, I don't know. It might make my dick twitch a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I think when I have public sex, I tend to choose locations that, as you said, like, offer me a good amount of time and, like, warning to, you know, pull my underwear back on or whatever. So, like, one of my favorites is a dark alley, which usually has, like, cars or, like, dumpsters or various things in it, so that if someone is coming, usually I can either hear them or maybe I'll see their shadow in the light that's back there or something, or a motion sense light will come on or something like that. So then you have enough time to throw your stuff back on and then act really casual, even though they'll probably know what you were doing. But I just personally don't feel good about shocking people in that way, because you just don't know what someone's day was like, what their history was like, what kind of trauma they have. You have no idea. And so, you know, I just don't think it's right to shock people like that.
Right. And, like, I don't know, even if it's not, like, horrifically upsetting. Like, oh, they're just going about that. Just let them live their day. I don't like, for even in my life, when that is a scenario, like, I watch people fuck for a living all day. And like, that is a scenario that might be hot to me, to stumble upon someone who is hot, like just jerking off somewhere or something. And if I've had a long day at work and I come around a corner and someone's jerking off, I'm like, shit, man, I'm tired. I don't, God. Like, it's not. So, yeah, I think setting yourself up for situations where if you're going to get caught, it's by people who have somehow signed up for that.
Right. Well, if we're talking about public sex in a scenario that's not like a kink summer camp, like it really is just like a regular public space that happens to be secluded enough that you feel comfortable having sex there. I was wondering if you have advice for just like, you know, tips and tricks for the average person who wants to have sex in this type of scenario and wants to do it in a safe and ethical way.
Well, so the first thing I already said, which is like, know the area that you're fucking in. Hang out there. Yeah, hang out there for a minute. Is someone going to walk by? Like, what does it sound like when someone comes near? How much can you hear them, right? I'm thinking, like, stairwells in a building where you can hear someone enter the stairwell three stories up because that shit echoes, right? Or in the woods, I will often be, like, somewhat off a trail so I can hear when people start to approach the trail. And if they're going to come off the trail, I have already heard them by the time they're up, you know. And I've already, like, ducked down to look and see if, for some reason, they are also wandering into the underbrush. I mean, dress for the occasion, right? Things that are easy to take on and off. And to that end, activities that are easy to do, like, somewhat through clothing, right? If you are a person who wears skirts or dresses, they are fucking perfect for this.
Yes.
if not, like a jock strap or something like tiny under your clothes that is easy to get on and off. I will often, if I'm planning public sex, I will pack, because having a dick in my pants to do things with is a lot easier than the one that's that I have factory installed. Because I find things like oral and hand stuff way easier than trying to like do any sort of penetration.
I feel like sometimes when I tell people I've had sex in public, they assume that I mean PIV, which I think I've only done maybe once.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I usually do not mean that, because that's, I think, hard mode of public sex. I mean, there's so many things that are so much easier to do and easier to conceal really quickly if you need to.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Don't be, like, trying new shit either. Like, stick with the stuff that you know and have done a great many times with this person if this is not the first time you're hooking up with them, right? Yeah. This isn't your time to be like, hey, I saw this position in this video sometime where I, like, pick you up and, like, no.
No.
You're like, no, this alleyway would be perfect. It's this real hot scene in my head.
Yeah, especially since you don't know the environment, probably, and also it's probably dark. So, like, you know, if someone tries to fuck you against what they think is a wall and it turns out that it's a garbage can, you're going to be fucked when, I mean, in more senses than one, when it tips over.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think that's probably, I guess, my starter kit of tips. And also have something in the back of your head if you're going to get caught. Like, how,
like, an excuse.
Yeah, like, and also, how are you going to get covered up quickly, right? Like, if clothing is coming off, is it within reach? Like, this is a thing that has come up because my partner and I also really enjoy shooting porn in semi-public places, which adds an interesting kink to this. But for me, again, what's fun about this is almost like, it feels like an achievement, like, gotta catch them all or something. Like, I see this pretty place and I'm like, I'm gonna figure out a way to get my dick out there. That'll, like, and it's extra fun if you have the momentum, the memento of that, and can catch it on camera. So sometimes that is an excuse, right? Having a large camera, because my partner is a photographer, people will excuse a lot of things as art if you have a big camera and someone is naked.
That's true. Yeah.
So we will have like a go-to excuse for if we're like holding the camera. But if you're just fucking around, you want to at least make sure, like, you have an exit strategy. Ah, our clothes are here and we can run off in that direction if someone comes or whatever, so that you're not just deer in the headlights.
Yeah, and if you're not, like, a skirts or dresses person, there are other things you could do, like tying a shirt or sweater around your waist that could, like, give you quick coverage if you pull it around, or, like, wearing a coat or something like that. One thing I really loved about a porn scene that you showed me that your partner and you shot in public was that you had this cool setup where, like, you have these tripods that can attach to, like, walls and stuff to hold a phone, and then you would do the same thing with the other phone, but the second phone would act as, like, a lighting device, like, just turn on the flashlight, which I think is so inventive. And yeah, that porn was shot in a storage
unit.
Yep,
I was emptying out my storage unit, and I was like, oh, look at this very empty, secluded room. but yeah, we've definitely done that. Since then, I have picked up a couple of different, like, other tripod setups, and I have these little portable LED lights that are USB powered, so I can just plug them into a little USB battery. So if I'm going out, I'll often toss those in my backpack. I also have a little safer sex kit that just lives in my backpack full time, so that if a scenario like this ever comes up, I have things on me. And in there are internal and external condoms, lube, various materials for condoms and various types of lubes to accommodate for allergies and that sort of things, toothbrush and toothpaste, set of gloves, change of underwear, and a tiny little vibrator that I like. So if I need to, I have pretty much what I need to either crash somewhere or get up to some shenanigans in a semi-public place.
I love the idea of bringing a vibrator with you at all times, because my experience with public sex is I almost never get off that way, because I am just a person who gets really anxious and is very inhibited in my arousal process by anxiety. It's the kind of thing where, like, maybe we do it for, like, 5 minutes and then we go home and then finish there. But I think that if I had a vibe with me, I would be able to, like, eke one out really quickly and much more easily, which is fun, you know. It's a good time.
Well, and the other tough thing about public sex is that it's, like, so often you're standing.
Right.
Because you're not, like, sprawling out on the sidewalk, right, or on all fours necessarily. So it's a lot harder to get into a position that – or at least a position that I'm used to coming in. So that – I think it's helpful to – I mean – like all sex, it doesn't have to be about the orgasm, but particularly public sex, what can be fun about it is a quickie that almost serves as foreplay, right? You get away with as much as you can get away with, and then you take all of that energy and save it up for next time when you are in your own space. And I think that's a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people would like – pass up the chance at that simply because they're like, well, we don't have the full time to, like, I don't know, what's sex without an orgasm, I think, is the thing that people ought to go to.
Yeah.
The sentence got away from me.
It's okay. I did want to ask you, it seems like an obligatory question, what are some of the weirdest places that you've had sex in public?
So the storage unit, I guess, ranks. But my favorites are just this past weekend, my partner and I traveled with them on a road trip for work, and we were looking at what is in the area for near their gig, and we found an abandoned town. And we did not get a chance to explore the whole thing because we did not prepare appropriately for this journey. But we found several, like, rusted out old cars that had, like, trees growing through them and shit. And weird. We found the ruins of an abandoned church. So naturally, we fucked in both of those locations and filmed it because they were so freaking cool. We also got a bunch of pictures of my partner in a gas mask on a rusted out old car. It's creepy. Really fucking neat. Yeah.
And so where can people find that porn if they want to?
The two clips are on, I think they're posted. Yes. Just4.fans/BillyLore. And I have little, like, snippets of them on Twitter, and then the pictures, we will edit them and have them on the internet at some point because we're both delighted by how terrifying they are.
cool. Let me think about my weirdest locations. My first ever public sex experience, I was in high school, and I couldn't go to my parents' house. I felt that I couldn't. And so me and my friend with benefits went into one of those like big plastic tubes in a playground at a school at night. And it was funny because like she is, as far as I know, like female identifying still to this day, but like always has had like gender feels, and at this particular time was dressed in like a big oversized hoodie and had short hair and stuff. And as we were walking to the playground, some like teenagers were leaving, and one of them like jokingly shouted like, "Don't forget the condoms." And I don't think that he knew that we literally were going to have sex, but also that we were queer and did not happen to need condoms for that interaction. I also once did a water sports scene in the bathroom of a very, very, very fancy whiskey bar.
Love that.
Yeah. Delightful.
I still need to fuck in a bathroom of a bar or something at some point.
It's tough because, like, you really don't – I mean, I don't really want to hold up the line. I always feel so guilty about that. Yeah. But if you kind of scope it out and maybe there's, like, multiple single-occupancy bathrooms sometimes, I feel less bad about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I think, like, yeah, I don't know. Every place I'd go to fuck in a bathroom is, like, some seedy bar in Brooklyn that only has one very small bathroom.
Right, exactly, exactly. And, like, I know that there are some people who will commandeer the disabled bathroom because it tends to be bigger and single occupancy in many cases. And that's not good because what if a disabled person needs to use the bathroom, y'all? Don't do that.
Yeah, I've definitely gone into House of Yes and like the urinals were fine, but people were fucking in the stall. And I was like, so here's the thing, guys. I know you're having a grand old time. I can't pee in the urinal.
Yeah, I have to bring an STP just to go to the queer club.
I know. I was like, you're having fun. Okay.
Can two of you get into the same stall? That would really help me out. what else? I guess, like, one of my fondest public sex memories was that I was hanging out with this old friend of mine from high school who I've always had, like, a weird on and off sexual tension with. Mm-hmm. And we got drunk together and then we went into the alley behind the bar and did some kinky stuff. She like slapped my face and like finger banged me and stuff. And
oh, then, I remember that story. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as we were leaving the alley, we saw someone who had been a teacher at the high school where we both went. And we were like chatting with him. He was like, "How's it going? I haven't seen you guys in forever." And I noticed that she was like sniffing her fingers a little bit during this conversation.
Oh my God.
It was really weird.
That's so much. I love weird, like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and that was such an interesting case because, like, I don't think that that guy knew or will ever know that we had just been banging. So, like, I think that it definitely added to the amusement and excitement of the situation for us, but he didn't need to know. You don't really need to involve other people like that all the time.
Right. For me, at least, what's hot is that folks don't know is the, like, I don't know, it becomes a fun little challenge of, like, this place feels neat and special, and I wonder what I can get away with here. I wonder if I can have, like, I don't know, a secret personal moment with this place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Make it mine just for a second. Yeah. My dick's on it.
That reminded me of, do you ever read about these objectum sexuals? You ever hear of these folks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so for people who don't know, these are people who feel that they are sexually and or romantically attracted to objects. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. There's like documentaries about them. And there's this woman, Erica Eiffel, who performed a marriage ceremony to be married to the Eiffel Tower. And one of the things that stuck out to me, I haven't seen this documentary in probably 10 plus years, so I could be misremembering it, but I remember her saying like, that she tried to have wedding night sex with the Eiffel Tower, but it was really hard because there was tourists everywhere and she couldn't like be intimate and find privacy. And I was like, I never thought about that. That's so true.
I love that. That's amazing.
The struggle.
Yeah. I have I don't think I've ever actually watched that documentary yet, but I have heard about this person.
It's very good. It's worth a watch for sure. It's probably dated because I think people are more accepting now of like different sexualities. But even now, I think it's a, you know, an idea that a lot of people struggle with, myself included. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of our listener questions about public sex. One listener has a fantasy of having public sex and really would like to, but has a lot of anxiety about it and is wondering if we have any advice on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to assume your anxieties are around getting caught. I think
probably.
And I would say, I mean, I'm coming back to what I said earlier, but like, start with a place that you know. Like, is there a backyard you have access to? Can you like rent an Airbnb somewhere that has a backyard, right? You know, is there a, you know, forest somewhere? I'm big on nature, right? Is there something nearby that you hike in often that you know? Can you go at times when it is the least populated? Even if you can find somewhere that you can, like, create the illusion of public, right? Like, I was talking about the backyard a little bit. Or, you know, even, like, I'm thinking in, I don't know, I'm drawing a blank. Never mind.
I have one. I've stayed in hotels where there were really big windows. So, like, you could have the blinds open, but oftentimes, like, they might be up so high or kind of so far from other buildings that it's really unlikely that anyone would actually be able to see you. But it does create a sensation of, like, oh, but they could be seeing me. So that's a good one.
Yeah, I think that is a good one. And I've also heard people talk about balconies, which is slightly more exposed. But similarly, you're in the sky. And to some extent, especially pushed up against a window, it is absolves a little bit of my fears of like, oh no, someone might see me, and like they would be uncomfortable because like you're looking in my window,
right?
Like, yeah, you might be skimming outside your window, like you know, someone might be standing at a window across the way, just kind of looking out and glancing around. But I don't know, if I'm in that situation and I see someone naked in their own fucking house, that's on me a little bit.
Yeah, like, that's their private space.
I look away or I keep looking, but that's on me. Like, so I think if you are setting yourself up in a situation where you could be being watched, that's definitely a fantasy I've played with as well. It is a good way to dip your toe into that.
Yeah. And there are other ways to start really small. I think that something that I've often done is like wear a dress or a skirt. And then if you're sitting in like a booth at a bar or something, someone can like finger you or touch you under the table. And it's really, really surreptitious. Or there's also, you know, like Love Ends vibrators and other Bluetooth operable vibrators where like as long as you don't sit in such a way that the vibe is like thumping up against the chair that you're in, and as long as you don't make any like weird noises or faces that other people can read, you're generally in the clear with those, and they're really fun.
And even just wearing a butt plug under your clothes can feel a lot like a partner can walk by and nudge it, like just tap it and you'll be reminded it's there, and it can feel like this public secret that you're sharing together.
Related, we got another question that was like, are there any particular sex acts or kinks that lend themselves really well to a public setting? One that I've played with a lot is hypnosis. And I know that this is one of those things where like, if it's not erotic for you, it might just like not be erotic for you. And that's fine. But I remember doing a really intense public hypno scene with my partner when we visited the Rose Garden in Portland, and it was like this really beautiful, serene environment that really helped me like relax, and we were just sitting on this bench, and I forget whether we delved into like giving me sexual feelings or arousal or anything, but like that was really great, and I don't think anybody had any idea what we were doing.
Similarly, any sort of like power exchange DS stuff is also fairly easy to do, right? I constantly roll my eyes at the people who are like walking people on leashes up and down the street, and like again, when you're doing that, it is hard to say that that is not about the reactions of other people are about eliciting the reactions of other people.
Yeah.
And if the reactions of other people are essential to your scene, then they are a part of your scene and should have chosen to be there.
Yeah.
However, you can very easily pick someone's outfit and have them wear it in public. You can even have someone wear something that they see as humiliating that the rest of the world wouldn't necessarily,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have to send someone out. Like, you can send someone out in a skirt slightly smaller than they might be comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. Or a dress that's, like, tighter and shows off a little more that you find really hot. That's still totally street legal, but the person is like, oh gosh, I'm wearing my indoor clothes outside. right? So you can play with humiliation depending on where your partner's scale for humiliation sits, right?
Yep.
You can do things that are embarrassing and intimidating, but not explicitly kinky.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can simply have them following your rules, right? Walk on a particular side of you, make sure your glass is always full, whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. that would just look like an attentive, like, caring partner. Any hand stuff, right? We were talking about sex. Any hand stuff, any toys that you can wear under clothes, so anal or vaginal plugs, chastity cages, mm-hmm. vibrators, cock rings. You can do rope under clothing. It will get uncomfortable really fast and is hard to get out of. But you could put someone in, like, a full body harness under their clothes. Mm. And what's fun about that is, depending on how much the clothes clings, there might be moments where you can see, like, a knot near a shoulder or a string of rope down their back. And the stranger might be like, the fuck is that? But they're not going to, like, no one's lifting up your shirt to examine you, right? Maybe you lean over and a little thing of rope hangs out, but, like, oh no! Like, and then you can also have, like, crotch rope, which will get real uncomfortable real fast, but will also get real interesting. Blowjobs, obviously, I mentioned oral, particularly blowjobs are easier, but you can get away with either oral depending on where you're at. Yeah, I mean, those are probably would be my go-tos. Impact is tricky because of sound.
Yeah, but punching is quieter than slapping,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing to know for this situation.
Pressure points are also excellent to know for this situation because they can cause a lot of pain with real minimal sound depending on the self-control of your bottom.
What should someone Google if they want to learn more about pressure points? And by someone, I do mean me.
honestly, I would probably just start looking at pressure points. I would look at martial arts stuff. That's where most of the folks I've talked to have learned from, because you can probably also find a lot of safety information around training with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're experimenting with pressure points, start by experimenting on your own body so you're knowing, like, what you're doing to your partner. And then also you're going to want to play around with your partner for a minute because they're not going to be in the same spot on all of us, and we're not going to respond the same way to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find a few, like, I'm thinking, like, under your tongue is a fun one for kink because you, first of all, your hand is all the way in someone's mouth, which is a whole other set of feelings. And it hurts like hell, and you can just, their head is going where you want it to go if you've got that one. So there are a lot in, like, the mouth and face that can really exaggerate power because you're right in someone's face touching the inside of their mouth or their face and causing them pain, which is fun and a little thing you can get away with around a corner somewhere.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of sadomasochistic stuff you can get away with doing in public, especially if the bottom is able to control their noises and their faces and stuff. Mm-hmm. My partner will often, like, if we're out on a dinner date or something, they will reach for my hand as if they're just going to, like, hold my hand across the table and then, like, dig their nails in or, you know, kind of squeeze or twist or something, pinch the skin, whatever. And that's really subtle. And it is kind of fun for me to have to, like, suppress those reactions. And it puts me in a very subby place very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So some new listener questions just came in, actually. I just checked. And One of them is relevant to something we were talking about earlier. The person says, my girlfriend and I got a rude note from a neighbor who saw us having sex through our window. Should we respond? And if so, how?
I mean, I think that depends on the note and the likelihood of you seeing this person. My inclination is actually yes, because they are a neighbor. They're not going to go away. Like they are, unless either of you are moving fairly soon, you're going to bump into them. And then it becomes like, what now, right? What happens next time they see or hear something? What happens when you run into each other taking out the trash? So I would prefer to address it. And it would depend really heavily on what the note said.
Yeah.
Right. But I would use this as a way to, I mean, I would probably pick apart whatever they said and shoot it back at them because I'm like that. Essentially, the intent of my note that I send back would be to reinforce what I had said earlier, which is it's my house.
Yeah.
And don't look in my windows. Like, if there is a noise complaint and we're talking late hours, like, I can be like, oh, like, it is not my intention to keep anyone awake. Like, I didn't realize you could be heard from your area. It's my intent. Like, I'll try to keep the noise down.
Yeah.
You know, or I will try to keep any loud activities during reasonable hours. Like, sure, but that's about the extent. If you don't like what I'm doing in my house, that's on you. Sorry. Stop looking in my house.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, noise is one issue that would be understandable for me as someone who did once have a roommate who kept me up at all hours with screaming loud sex, which you may or may not have heard on a Dildorks episode at some point, because she did not respond to me telling her I'm recording at these hours. But if it's not the noise issue, I mean, part of me wonders, since this is our audience and our audience tends to be quite queer and or trans, like, I wonder if the neighbor is responding to it being visibly queer sex. And, you know, I think that there's been a lot of interesting discourse throughout the ages of, like, queer people having sex in public and, like, especially all these debates about, like, public sex at Pride or at, like, the Folsom Street Fair and stuff like that. And I think often people will latch onto visible sex as, like, a scapegoat for their actual discomfort, which is about queerness, and kind of, like, a puritanical viewpoint on that. So I actually don't really feel like you're obligated to respond, but I do agree with you that if you do respond, it's probably best to write a polite but firm message that indicates, like, you can not look at us and that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. And I definitely don't think you're obligated to.
Yeah.
I think more what I encourage is, okay, imagine the next time you walk into this person.
Right.
How's that going to, would you rather have sent them a snarky email or would you rather have that conversation in person? Because that's going to depend wildly on you and your confrontational style and what you know of this person. Because if they dropped you a note, maybe they won't say shit in public. Maybe the next time you will smile and wave and they won't have it in them to do anything, and you know that about them, and you can just ignore it.
Yeah. Oh, someone is asking for a sex toy rec. What is the quietest remote-controlled vibe I can use on my girlfriend's clit while we're at brunch? I really, really like the Love Ends toys. I didn't know that I was going to like them because a lot of, like, sex toy reviewers who I know had not reviewed them, and they're, like, really widely used in the camming community, but I reviewed some of them recently because I was working on a piece about long-distance sex toys, and I really like them. I think that they have a more stable connection than a lot of the other ones I've tried, WeVibe, Oh My Bod. The connection is very, very responsive. The connection doesn't drop a lot, and they're also pretty quiet. I think especially the Lush 3, which is the internal one, and you do have to enjoy G-spot vibration to like that one because there's not a lot of clit stim with that one, but I think that one's pretty quiet when it's inside you. Do you have any recs on this?
My go-to when I was selling toys was generally a WeVibe, because the thing with so many of these toys is that they're designed to fit in your underwear, mm-hmm. and your underwear moves.
Yeah.
And the Wii Vibe is designed to fit inside you, which moves considerably less. if you get like the Wii Vibe Sync, which has an adjustable neck, it looks almost like a C, I guess, mm-hmm. and it has one arm that inserts vaginally, and the other one would rest against your clit. And they have two motors, so they can both vibrate. And you could probably get away with it anally as well and have it vibrating, like, on your taint. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know of folks who have used it that way. But I think the curve is severe enough. I think you'd be okay. Mm-hmm. You'd have some warning, at least, before it went anywhere. I haven't done a ton of testing with the connection, and I have found it somewhat finicky, but it's more stable than others. And because it is kind of hugging your body and holding itself in place that way, especially the most recent adjustable one, mm-hmm. I find that it actually stays in place on your junk versus so many of these others that like slide around in your underwear or that are like... if your underwear aren't like a size too small, they'll slightly sag away because it's heavy and your underwear isn't used to having things sitting in it.
Yeah.
So this just kind of keeps it where it wants to be, and it hooks up to your phone, so you're not like pointing something that looks like an AC remote at your partner's genitals.
Yeah, that'd be weird if the waiter came over. They'd be like, "What is? Are you trying to control the TV in the corner of the restaurant, or what's going on?"
Right, exactly. And we're all fucking around on our phones all the time, so that's not suspicious at all anymore.
Right. I do also like the newer Wii Vibe Moxie, which is their magnetic panty vibe. I think that like it avoids a lot of the problems you were mentioning about panty vibes in general, because the magnet is really strong. So basically, like, if you know where your clit tends to be situated in your underwear, you can put the vibe there and it will stay there pretty well. I do find that if you're a person who likes pressure on your clit, it might not be enough because it doesn't have anything to help it press there unless you're like squeezing your thighs together. But for a public setting, I don't know that that's all that important.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is interesting. This person says, "I'm worried about people staring at my chastity cage through my shorts at the gym or through my jeans in public. Should I negotiate a way to take it off when I'm out and about, or am I just paranoid?"
So here are my thoughts. I have layers of thoughts. First of all, you're probably paranoid.
Yeah. Second, most people are not looking at you as much as you think they are, and that's just true for everybody.
Right. And if they're seeing your chastity cage, that means they're staring at your junk, at which case they have chosen to be staring at your junk and they have signed up for everything that they're seeing. And also, if they know enough about chastity cages to intuit that that's what they're seeing and not just someone slightly more well endowed than you.
Or someone with like kind of an angular looking dick.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't like if they are examining your junk that closely, and able to ID it as a chastity cage based on the shape or the jingle of a lock or whatever that is. That person is into chastity and wanted to see your chastity cage.
Yeah. Like,
if they are observing that closely. That said, whether or not your anxiety is rational doesn't have to impact how you address it, right?
Yeah.
If you are anxious that people are staring at your chastity cage, that is the issue that can be discussed, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, is it a sexy kind of anxious that you like being kind of pushed past and feeling like all eyes are on you because you have this sexy little secret in your pants and, oh, you can't even get hard about it, oh no? Or is it the kind of anxiety that like pulls you away from it and isn't letting you focus on things and doesn't actually make it fun anymore? Cause oh no, what if that person saw and like now you feel icky?
Right.
If it's the latter, then yeah, negotiate a way to take your cage off. I know like some cages will come with little numbered tags instead of a lock so that you can see when the tag has been cut, right? The number changes, but you don't necessarily have to lock and unlock it and carry a key. You can negotiate certain times when you don't wear your cage and go on an honor system that you're not also jerking off when you're at the gym, right? You can send a picture right before you take it off and right before you put it back on, to like keep looping your partner in and make it still a thing that you're doing together, right? You're not disobeying. There are rules for when you take it off and when you put it on, even if your partner isn't there to do it with or for you. So there are certainly workarounds. And whether or not people are likely to notice, if that anxiety is inhibiting your joy in this enough, then find whichever workaround works for you. But I don't think you need to. I don't think you are violating other people's boundaries by walking around with something in your pants. Like, there's an extent to which people need to be accountable for where they're looking.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having that much unsexy anxiety about people seeing you in your cage, like, maybe that sort of like 24/7 aspect of chastity like isn't for you, and that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that there's a lot of discourse in the chastity community that implies that like that's the only right way to do it, and it's not. You can do it whenever and however you want to. And my partner with chastity sometimes will like take off the cage for a while for various different reasons, and just like you said, honor system, like won't jerk off or do anything in that time, and then we'll just like put it on at an appointed time, and that's totally fine. We've discussed it, and the way that they describe it is basically like it's more about the spirit of the thing. It's more about like the mental psychological aspect of like you know, that I'm controlling their cock. And I know that it's not that way for everybody. I know that there are people who like really do enjoy that physical sensation, like being with them all day. But yeah, you don't have to do chastity the way other people do chastity.
And if you're going to play with things like if you're going to play with chastity without a cage on, right? Maybe there are specific underwear you wear. Like maybe you wear jocks when you're supposed to be in chastity rather than your boxers, right? They're a sluttier underwear anyhow, and it's going to feel like it's holding your junk, right? You're going to feel not quite snug the way you would with a chastity cage, but it is going to be a tactile difference from maybe what you would wear every day. I don't know what kind of underwear you wear, but you know. And there are also ways to eroticize the honor system, right? It doesn't have to be, well, you can't have your cage right now, so I guess you have to just, I'll know, tell me if you get off or whatever. It can be, hey, I'm trusting you not to get hard, and if you do, you're going to report back to me, and this is going to happen, right? You can make it almost like playing on hard mode. Now there's nothing to stop you getting hard except your own willpower. Can you do it, right?
Yeah.
You can, you know, so there, with a little bit of dirty talk around it, you can eroticize that similarly to accommodate, I think, fairly easily.
Yep. Good advice. One more quick question. What do you do if you're having sex in public and someone starts watching you? Has this ever happened? I mean, outside of kink camp?
I don't. Not really, right? Because someone approaches and I scramble and duck for cover, right? I think in all likely circumstances, if I caught someone vaguely watching, like if I was like, wow, you've been settled and like looking, like I'm scanning the horizon, I'm like, oh, hey, buddy, you like set up picnic over there. Okay. I would probably like laugh and act all bashful and like cover up and scurry off and like maybe wave or something, right? Like if they're standing there watching, if I'm having public sex, I signed up that someone might catch me. If they are standing there watching, not like walking up like, oh God, but like standing there watching, they have signed up to watch me. We have had little experience together there, and I may not know who they are, but like I could be like, well, all right, well, like I can wave and scurry off and be like, okay, haha, that was, gosh, you caught me. And I think that's fine, and that might be awkward, but I think, I don't know, that is within the realm of possibility for that scenario. I don't think it should be unexpected. I don't think if you catch someone watching you when you're fucking in public, it should be like, oh my God, like he, well, shit, all right, hi, I guess. We were certainly putting on a show, weren't we? Okay, well.
I definitely would be freaked out if this happened to me, if I looked up and someone was watching me. But it's because, like, that's not at all part of the excitement for me. And it is one of those weird things where, like, as you said, you are kind of signing up for that if you're having sex in public. And yet also, I think that that would feel somehow kind of non-consent-y to me. But I would tend to pack up and go, like, pretty quickly. Not only because of that, but also because you don't know if, like, what if the reason that they're watching you is that they work in the restaurant that you're standing behind? Or I'm thinking of a time that me and my friends one time tried to have a picnic in high school on what we later found out was the grounds of a church, but it just seemed like a park area to us. And someone from the church came out and was like, "All right, guys, you got to go." And it was like this weird altercation. I'm just imagining if it had been sex instead. Would have been very strange.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, you do have a choice, right? If someone is standing there watching, they have chosen to watch, and you have chosen to be in a situation where you can get caught, and you can just carry on and now have an audience. Like, for me, it would weird me out, because similarly to you, I didn't sign up to get watched. Yeah. I signed up to have sex in this cool location that and accepted that I might get watched, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're a person who, like, this stranger watching me fuck is hot just by virtue of the fact that they're a stranger, I mean, like, carry on. But I do agree that, like, you don't know why they're watching you. You don't know who they've called or what, like.
Right.
I generally would be like, oh, the gig is up. I lost the game. Someone, hello? Goodbye. Oh, God. And it's 2006 and everyone listening also just lost the game because it happened in my head.
Oh, no.
And now. Sorry, y'all.
This is a cursed anyway. Podcast.
I'm sorry. My head gave it to me. And I it just, anyway. But yeah, I generally would accept that as time to move along, and well, that happened, okay. And I think if it would be horrifically upsetting for you to scan the horizon and find someone watching you, then you have learned that public sex is maybe not for you.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay. But I don't think you can only be so outraged if someone in a public environment catches you having public sex.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I hope that if you have public sex, that it is safe and consensual for all involved. That is my wish for you, dear listeners. I have been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a book coming out, which I think has a section about public sex. It's called 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do, and you can pre-order it wherever you are in the world at 101kinkythings.com. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice, and my other podcast, Question Box, is back. Our most recent guests were Lexi and Gwen from the Off the Cuffs podcast. So we got into some very kinky discussions. It was extremely perverted. I think they all would enjoy that. Where's your stuff?
Amazing. I'm Bex. You can find my writing and information about my workshops at BexTalkSex.com. And I'm naked on the internet at Billy Lore on Twitter and at justfor.fan/BillyLore. It's also Masturbation May, so I am jerking off and filming it every day as kind of, I know.
Good for you.
It's thanks. The thing is, I realized after I moved that I don't really jerk off anymore because like my partner's right here and it's like, well, either I'm gonna fuck them like tonight or if I'm horny, it's like, well, they're gonna be here tomorrow and I like edging, so I might as well just. But masturbation kind of fell out of my practice and it is a thing that is good for both my body and brain and sex drive. So I set myself a little challenge to kind of get back to that, and it's also just an experiment in creativity, coming up with 30 different videos this month to film. But they are all on my Just For Fans, so if you want to come watch those, and quite a few of them are in public. I've jerked off in two different parks this weekend and plan on finding many more public places as it gets warmer. So head over and join me on Just For Fans to see all of that. Together, we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You could also find us by going to patreon.com/thedildorks to throw money at us and help us keep doing what we're doing.
Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
Do you want to chat about condoms for like 5 or 10 minutes?